This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Radio South Tyneside, your caring community radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I heard a really moving song in a folk club once, all about a little boy, so full of the joy of living, so creative, being moulded and shaped into someone he was not. I wonder what you make of this song called Flowers Are Red, and whether you've heard it before. It's by Harry Chapin.
The little boy went first day of school. He got some crayons and he started to draw. He put colours all over the paper, for colours was what he saw. And the teacher said, "What you doing, young man?" "I'm painting flowers," he said. She said, "It's not the time for art, young man. And anyway, flowers are green and red. They're the time for everything, young man, and the way it should be done. You've got to show concern for everyone else, for you're not the only one." And she said, "Flowers are red, young man, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen." But the little boy said, "There are so many colors in the rainbow, so many colors in the morning sun, so many colors in a flower, and I see everyone." The teacher said, "You're sassy, there's ways that things should be, and you'll paint flowers the way they are, so repeat after me." And she said, "Flowers are red, young man, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen." But the little boy said, "There are so many colors in the rainbow, so many colors in the morning sun, so many colors in the flower, and I see everyone." The teacher put him in a corner. She said, "It's for your own good. And you won't come out till you get it right and are responding like you should." Well, finally he got lonely, frightened, thought, filled his head. And he went up to the teacher, and this is what he said. And he said, "Flowers are red, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen." Time went by like it always does, and they moved to another town. And the little boy went another school, and this is what he found. The teacher there was smiling. She said, "Painting should be fun, and there are so many colors in a flower, so let's use every one." But that little boy painted flowers in neat rows of green and red, and when the teacher asked him why, this is what he said. And he said, "Flowers are red, and green leaves are green. There's no need to see flowers any other way than the way they always have been seen."
The little boy in that song couldn't live his life to the full because of the first teacher's insistence on sticking to rules. A similar thing was happening at the time of Jesus. The religious leaders of the day, the scribes and Pharisees, who were guardians of the law, saw it as their divine role to see that the law was obeyed to the letter. Now, there were two kinds of law. One was the written law, that was scripture, and the other law comprised those little rules which were more prescriptive and which had been added to over the years to make clear exactly what each law was all about. These hundreds of extra rules had become in time just as important and had been passed down in the finest detail to be observed by everyone, and so it seems that tremendous burdens were placed on people's backs to conform to them and remember them. In our gospel reading today, the Jewish leaders square up for a confrontation because one of these such rules had been openly flouted by Jesus' disciples. They had been spotted not washing their hands before eating. Ooh. The religious leaders made it clear that to please God, one must be ritually clean, especially before meals. They were very specific about how the hands must be washed in a certain way before eating. But Jesus defended his disciples and argued that pleasing God had more to do with the human heart being pure and clean rather than merely washing the hands. Here we have Brian Dirksen singing Purify My Heart.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold, pure gold, refined as fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master, ready to do your will.
This is what Jesus had to say to these religious leaders in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 17. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. Now the leaders were deeply offended by what Jesus said. Scandalizo is the word used, meaning they were repulsed, indignant, and shocked by his views. It seemed to them that Jesus was undermining the very foundations of their faith and challenging how the book of Leviticus had been interpreted. But Jesus wasn't finished yet. He went one stage further and accused them all of hypocrisy. He pointed out that they were guilty of twisting rules to suit themselves and their own purposes. He accused them of giving God lip service only, and he claimed that their hearts were far away from God. Now, this was certainly not how to win friends and influence people, so naturally they were even more furious. When Jesus' disciples pointed out how upset these religious leaders were, Jesus explained to them that it was impossible for the blind to lead the blind, meaning that people can rarely be led into truth and right living by teachers who have not searched and found God for themselves. St. Thomas Aquinas once said, "What matters to God is not so much how we act, but why we act. Not so much about what we do, but what we hide in the heart of our hearts. Man sees the deed, but God, he sees the intention." Here's a song from my album Call to Serve, based upon Psalm 51, which says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Here's a little bit of that song.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. You know me well. You see inside my thoughts. You know my every move and all my ways. Before I speak, what I will say. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive
in the second half of today's reading. We find Jesus is now in Gentile territory, away from the hostility of the religious leaders. No longer is there a crowd of people clamouring for his attention, but it's here that Jesus encountered a very determined woman. By Jewish law and tradition, she was unclean, for she was a Canaanite, her race being an old enemy of the Jews. But somehow she must have heard about Jesus and the miracles he performed, and so she approached him with her problem, begging to be heard. Let's hear her story, reading from verse 21 of Matthew 15. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. The prayer that this woman prayed, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me," was short and simple, but effective. She came before Jesus with no set agenda. She came in her desperate need. Let's listen to Michael Smith and Amy Grant sing, "Lord, Have Mercy."
Jesus, I've forgotten words that you have spoken, promises that burn within my heart have now grown dim. With a doubting heart I follow the paths of earthly wisdom. Forgive me for my unbelief, renew the fire again. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me.
The woman doesn't seem put off by the disciples' comments to be rid of her, for she stays put to plead for her sick daughter, whom she obviously loves. Jesus tells her, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," which sounds dismissive and quite unlike Jesus, who usually welcomed everyone who begged for his help. But his second statement to her sounds callous as well. He says, "It's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." In fact, it sounds downright offensive. But then again, when the written word is read, it's very difficult to sense the tone in which something is said, and it's very difficult to ascertain whether the eyes say something quite different. Also, scholars say that the actual word here for dog, cunaria, is the name for a puppy dog or a pet dog, and not a scurvy street dog. Therefore, this may well have been a term of endearment. Was Jesus then challenging the prejudice of his own disciples, who were looking on one of God's children as a nuisance, wanting to get rid of her, totally oblivious to her real needs? You see, Jesus welcomes all who come to him, regardless of their background. At least so says this next song, "Come All You Vagabonds" by Stuart Townend.
Come all you vagabonds, come all you don't belongs, winners and losers, come like me. Come all you travelers, tired from the journey, come wait a while, stay a while, welcome you'll be. Come all you questioners, looking for answers and searching for reasons and sense in it all. Come all you fallen and come all you broken, find strength for your body and food for your soul. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of grace. About houses and money, and all those who don't have a care in the world. From every station and orientation, the helpless, the hopeless, the young and the old. Come to the feast, there is room at the table. Come, let us meet in this place with the King of all kindness, who welcomes us in with the wonder of love and the power of grace. The wonder of love and the power of grace. believers and dreamers and schemers, and come all you restless just searching for home. Movers and shakers and givers and takers, the happy, the sad, the lost and alone. Come self-sufficient with wearied ambition, and come those who feel at the end of the road.
I'm quite certain Jesus was not being prejudiced here. Looking at evidence elsewhere in the Bible, a Gentile was the good guy in Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan. Jesus healed the servant of a Roman centurion. Jesus welcomed and healed many waifs and strays, lepers and outcasts, whom others classed as unclean. Such stories, though, today challenge our deeply held prejudices, do they not? Who is it we dismiss or keep at arm's length? Who in our circle of acquaintances do we see as the outsider? Who is it we might look on with annoyance right now? Perhaps this is the very person Jesus wants to show his love to. Let's try putting ourselves in the shoes of these outcasts of today's world and ask ourselves, how might we feel if people dismissed us or rejected us or became belligerent towards us? Such outcasts back then in Jesus' day experienced his great love and compassion. He was soon to become wounded himself, rejected and killed for their sakes and for ours. Today we can know that Jesus, this wounded healer, knew great suffering himself, and he suffers with us in our pain. Here is one of my songs called The Wounded Healer.
For you are a wounded child in the arms of the Master, wounded by the snares of life on the pathway of the innocent. But see his blood mingling with your own, though the heart of the wounded healer. Rest there safely in the arms of the Lord, the all-knowing. From the depths he's heard your cry, and he knows that you love him. Just see his blood mingling with your own, flowing down from the thorns about his head. He is holding healing streams in a vessel of water, waiting patiently for you to be bathed with forgiveness. Just see his blood mingling with your own, flowing down from the thorns about his head, flowing out from the nail prints in his heart.
But this woman is not deterred by Jesus' words. Perhaps her reply, "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table," is just as much a tongue-in-cheek comment as Jesus' comment was. No one else, apart from the Roman centurion, receives such praise from Jesus' lips as she does. "Woman, you have great faith." What a contrast to what Jesus has recently had to put up with. Here is a woman who comes to him in great humility and with far greater faith and far less prejudice than those religious leaders who just confronted him about their rules and regulations. And her faith is rewarded. In healing the woman's daughter, Jesus reveals himself as saviour to the Gentiles too. So here in this story, there's such a shift in scriptures. A change is in the air. Dividing walls were about to come down. Would that all of our walls of prejudice fall down in today's world. Would that people of faith could all communicate what each believe without the need for aggression and argument. God wants to break down the walls we build, for in keeping others out, we shut him out too. Let your walls come tumbling down, it says in the next song. Let me love you. Let's open our hearts to receive his love this day. And so it's goodbye from me, Sheila Hummel, this week, and from Andrew Ridgewick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Have a good week, everyone. Bye for now.
I have built me a wall. I have conquered it all. And I don't need the world anymore. I have buried my pain till it rises again. But inside me,
child, run to me and be free.